Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello, Israel. Hello, USA, Canada, the UK, Austria, the Netherlands, etc., etc. Great to see all of you listening here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Today, we're going to be talking about an interesting topic, and that is that Ynet News is reporting that Gaza suffers from a brain drain as young professionals there look for a better life. Almost half of the Palestinians, they write, the Arabs there in Gaza, who leave the Gaza Strip don't return, with many taking advantage of the permanent opening of the Rafah border crossing to get out via Egypt and search for a better life elsewhere. And I wish those people who are leaving to have a better life elsewhere. I think it's a wonderful idea. I wish them well. Honestly, truly from my heart, everybody should have a good chance to live in a place where they're happy. And if they're unhappy living in Israel, in the Gaza Strip, then they should leave. And they should make a better life elsewhere. I think it's a wonderful idea. I think it's something that should be encouraged for many people who want to leave. Because with the Hamas in power, the corruption, the lack of law and order, the stealing of money, the hatred that they spew out every day, the military conflicts that they cause upon themselves, there is no future there for the Arabs. And the Arabs who are friendly with Israel, who want peace with Israel, they can stay and make a nice life here like other Arabs do as well. So, again, I just want to say Arabs in Israel enjoy more rights than any Arabs anywhere else in the Arab world. Whether you're near Syria, Iraq, Iran, et cetera, that means you're not getting as many rights and freedoms as an Arab has here in Israel. Arabs sit on Israel's Supreme Court. Arabs sit in the Knesset of Israel and our government leaders here. Arabs have our doctors, lawyers, everything. They're everywhere in every field. Women can get a university education. Women are not tied under their men, according to law. But their families do is another situation. A good life here and a brain drain in Gaza. And a lot of other news as well. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And we're talking today about the Gaza brain drain, as well as some other news stories, and Tu B'Shvat. Sunday night starts the holiday of Tu B'Shvat, which ends Monday night. What is that holiday about? It's all about the fruit, the trees. We have a Seder, not, remember the word Seder? It's like Passover Seder. There's a Tu B'Shvat Seder. We're going to learn all about that also. But first, we're going to go to one of these very interesting stories, which is the Gaza brain drain. And again, according to Ynet.com, they report that Gaza suffers from the brain drain as young professionals look for a better life. Almost half of the Arabs who leave the Gaza Strip don't return, they say, with many taking advantage of the permanent opening of the Rafah border crossing to get out via Egypt and search for a better life elsewhere. Joining us to tell us more about this, we have joining us Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem. He is a researcher, former lecturer at Ben-Gurion University, and has authored over 60 books and 400 research papers on science, political science, and more. He is a commentator on the Mideast and world issues, and he's working on a book now that he started several months ago about anti-Semitism. Can't wait till that book comes out. So we can take a look at that. And he's documenting everything. He's such a big researcher. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you for having me.
I wanted to say nerd, geek, you know, which you are as well, which many people would say, but you are a prolific researcher. You just do an amazing job. But let's talk about the Gaza brain drain. Tell us about that.
Well, first of all, it's been going on for a long time, but of course there are ups and downs. I mean, sometimes there are more movements and sometimes there are less. Right now, Gaza is under enormous pressure from the PA, from the Palestinian Authority, and the direct result of that is that there's an increased movement of people going out of Gaza with no intention of returning. And of course, the ones that have the best chance of doing that are the ones who have some sort of level of education, be that doctors or engineers or whatever. There really isn't any future for anyone in the Gaza Strip today because the Hamas pseudo-government that they have there, unfortunately, that they voted in, really sees their job not as running a political entity, which includes things like water and garbage collection and electricity and other things of that nature, healthcare, but really sees their job only as one, and that is the annihilation of Jews all over the world, which is what's written in their charter. That's what they exist for, is to kill.
So I would say that the decent Arabs in the Gaza Strip want to get out and leave and make a better life, don't want to live in under a corrupt government, don't want to live without law and order, don't want to live in a place where they just incite hatred all the time.
Well, I don't know if I would use the word decent because I don't know if there's any way to discern who are the better people and who are the worst people. But the people who... you have to remember, the average salary in Gaza is today a few dollars a day, not more than that. The average salary on a month for a month work of actual labor might be $200-$300. But the cost to get onto the list of people who are allowed to leave is $1,500. So it's very expensive. It's very difficult to leave Gaza. It's not an easy thing to do.
What is the $1,500 for?
That's for just getting your name onto a list.
Under the Hamas to be able to leave.
To the crossing into Egypt, you have to first of all get on a waiting list for people who are allowed to go. Mm. It might be people who are very ill and need medical care. It might be all sorts of things. But getting onto the list costs $1,500.
Dollars or shekels?
Dollars.
Dollars. Uh-huh. Okay. So then they have their relatives that live outside of Gaza already send money back to bring the rest of their family over.
Well, I suppose it goes something like that. But remember, they get to Cairo. From there, they need to somehow smuggle themselves westward to some point in either Libya or Tunis or Algeria. From there, paid again to get some sort of transport to Europe, and then begin the process of finding a place in Europe to live and finding a job. Now, this whole process can easily take a year. We're talking about a problem there. We're talking about a movement of people which is by no means trivial. Yet people are literally trying to do it. People trying to do anything they can to get on these lists and to somehow get away. Hmm. And we're talking about not individuals. We're talking about tens of thousands of people.
So it says here in the article, they're talking about an Arab who recently immigrated from Gaza said that getting on the list was his only way out of the Gaza Strip. He says, I paid more than $1,000 and got on that list to save myself months of waiting. To get priority, you have to be either a very sick person in need of treatment or a student. If you're neither, you have no other choice, and that is to pay. That's what he's saying here.
Right.
Interesting.
This is not new. This
and
is something that's been going on for a long time.
They say here Abbas is to blame. Again, I'm reading from the YNetNews.com. It appears, however, that the most problematic and controversial emigration from Gaza is that by doctors. The health system in the Strip is permanently on the verge of collapse, and there is a serious shortage of doctors. The situation is being exacerbated as some doctors in the Strip choose to leave Gaza for the sake of their own future and that of their families. According to reports, 82 doctors left the Strip between May and November of last year and have not returned. You want to comment?
Well, again, it's not just doctors. Doctors are the ones that cause the most, cause the most pain by them by their leaving. But it could be anyone. It could be university people. It can be engineers. It can be doctors. It can be economists. The article quotes also a person with a degree in economics. People, there's basically no work in Gaza. 58%, I think, is the level of unemployment in the Gaza Strip today. There's no industry. What industry did exist there during the when we were in charge has been mostly commandeered by the by Hamas to convert it into some sort of a anything that can deal with issues of militarism. Even the most basic industries. While the Gaza Strip under our management exported over $100 million worth of agricultural products during our times, its export of agricultural products today is under $1 million a year, from 100 million to under a million. So it's not just a question of basic hardship. We're talking about they have literally done everything to cause a collapse of the economics, and that is so that they can go to the United Nations and beg for handouts.
Let me just read another paragraph here real quick. It says here, the economic situation in the Strip has gotten worse because of the Palestinian Authority's sanctions. That's Mahmoud Abbas, by the way. Particularly the unjust decision that cut 60% of our wages, they say. It left us with a salary too low to meet our needs. Ismail told the Arab media, quote, I could keep on living like this, but what drove me was the future I want for my children. So people want a better life for themselves, for their children. The brain drain is taking place over there in the Gaza Strip. And again, I wish them well. I wish them a good life someplace else. Let's go take another. We only have like about 2 minutes left, literally. And I want to talk about some other things as well. If you wanted to just talk about very quickly the election of two Muslim congresswomen to the U.S. Congress, what do you have to say about that?
Well, again, I have nothing against a person being of the Muslim faith and being elected to Congress.
Right.
Heaven forbid that I should make a blanket statement like that. That would be stupid, if nothing else. But unfortunately, these two women that were elected also have other characteristics that make them stand out. Both of them are ardent supporters of Farrakhan, the known anti-Semite and Jew hater, not just Jew hater, a hater of just about everybody in the world. And they the interesting thing is Pelosi, the brilliant, in quotation marks, the brilliant Speaker of the House who famously said that she has to pass a bill in order to find out what's in it because she hasn't the brains to read it.
We'll know what's in the bill after we pass it. I think that's what she said.
Has now appointed a person who has claimed many times that Israel has no right to exist, has appointed this person to the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, which means that she has direct oversight responsibility for all relationships with everyone between the United States and every other country in the world, including, of course, Israel and all countries in the Middle East.
Do you see the Democratic Party in the United States looking more and more like the Labour Party in the UK under Corbyn?
Oh, I would say that that's definitely the case, and I would say it's not just looking like Corbyn's Labour Party, but both the Democrats and the Labour Party are looking more and more like the Nazi Party in the 1920s.
Very fascist.
Oh yes, absolutely.
It's frightening.
We have violence. We see violence in the streets. We see expressions of not just anti-Semitism, but many expressions of violence, not just against Jews, but against their opponents of any sort.
Well, we're going to have to stop you there because we have to go to a break. But when we get back, we'll be talking a little bit more about this and the holiday of Tubishvat, which starts Sunday night.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio, and we are speaking with Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, who is a researcher, and he is commenting on what is going on, the latest news stories, the brain drain in Gaza. We talked about the election of two Muslim congresswomen who are both taking an anti-Semitic stand, hanging out with people who are anti-Semitic, and the comparison between the Democratic Party today in the USA with the Labour Party today in the UK, and how they seem to be going to on a very similar path, and that should be sending messages to Jews in these two countries that perhaps it's time to, as Schiffer Hoffman always likes to say, pack up and come to Israel. But let's go down to another quick news story, and then we'll go to Tu B'Shvat, which is a very happy holiday here in Israel. The government shutdown in the USA. It's a long time now. Things are happening there. It looks like the country not splitting up geographically in a north and south type of civil war, but this is truly a battle for power between the Democrats and Donald Trump and the Republicans. What do you see happening there?
I really don't want to try to predict what may happen. We have to remember, first of all, that a shutdown is not really a shutdown. It's a partial shutdown. Some people are out of payment. I can't say that they're out of work. They're not working. And they're not being paid, but it's not clear exactly what the legal definition of that actually means. Previous times, these people all received their back pay. So we can assume that will probably happen again today. In other words, the United States is not saving any money in any case, not doing anything in terms of their debts. But a lot of governmental functions are not functioning today. Most things that are critical are functioning, like defense, police, first responders of all sorts, etc. All of these things are functioning as normal, but a lot of less essential functions are not working. But you're right, it's a power struggle, and it's a very ugly power struggle, because what's happening in the streets today in the United States is very ugly. We're talking about an uncivil society.
Very much so. I mean, so uncivil, you can't hold a discussion with many of them on the left and the progressive arena.
You're not allowed to discuss with them. They will refuse to discuss anything if they disagree with you or if you disagree with them. And in the vast majority of cases, at least seemingly, according to what I see on news sites and things like that, it very quickly goes to violent behavior, either verbal violence or actual physical violence.
It you know, when I see some of these videos of these demonstrations and the Women's March, etc., I look at this and it's frightening to me to see what America has become, that these people do not love America. They hate America. This is what I see. And that they want the destruction of America. They're globalists. They want to destroy borders. And these are the globalists. And that they cannot think on their own. They seem like these zombies in a cult that are just, you can't talk to them. It's frightening to me. But we don't have a lot of time, and I do want to get to the beautiful holiday of Tu B'Shvat. And by the way, if anybody disagrees with me, feel free to write me or leave a comment on where the show is posted. If you disagree with what I just said, I'm interested to read your comments. You don't have to agree with me. If you do agree with me, you can leave your comments as well, but we'd love to hear from you. The holiday of Tu B'Shvat. Talk about it to our listeners. Tell them about it.
Well, let's go back to the basics just for 1 minute and recall that the what's called the Torah of Israel is actually composed of five parts. There's the written Torah and the oral Torah. The written Torah is made of three parts: the five books of Moses, the Torah itself, the prophets, and the writings. And the oral Torah is composed of two parts: the Mishnah and the Zohar. And our sages compared it to a hand, to a person's hand. And as we all know, a hand has an opposing thumb, which is what allows it to function in gripping things and etc. It's called, everything called dexterity. And the opposing thumb of the Torah is the Zohar. So you can't, anyone who thinks that they can read passages in English, which is a flat, single-layered language that were originally written in Hebrew, which is a multi-layered, multi-dimensional language, and understand it just from the English is simply fooling themselves. You can't understand it, and you can't understand it unless you have some picture of the hand, the five parts. So all of the holidays in the Torah that are in the written Torah all take place during the summer months. The holidays that come up in the winter months all have their origin in the verbal Torah and the oral Torah. So we see Purim, we see Hanukkah, and we see Tu B'Shvat. And all of these holidays come about from the oral Torah. Now, Tu B'Shvat, first of all, began as simply what we might call a technical holiday. In other words, it was necessary from a technical standpoint because there are certain commandments that we have to fulfill that are date dependent. For instance, if you talk about the tithing, is that the word? I'm sorry, the tithing of things that grow from the ground, whether from the on the ground or from trees, you have to take a tenth of it away for the Kohanim to support the Kohanim and the Levim. There's a question of the date. You know, from when is the breakoff point from 1 year to another? Is it, you know, so the Mishnah already at the very beginning talks about four different kinds of New Year. And one of them is the New Year of the trees. And that, of course, is Tu B'Shvat. So we have from certain date of when a fruit of a tree is called new, as opposed to the new ones from this year or the older ones from previous years. And so you have to have a cutoff date. And that cutoff date is Tu B'Shvat, the 15th day of the month of Shvat. Mm. And the reason given on the Mishnah is that's when the sap begins to rise in the trees. In other words, depending on, of course, everything in Judaism is dependent upon the land of Israel. And in the land of Israel, at this time, we see the beginning of the process of ending of winter and the start of the process of receiving the spring times.
Isn't it true that Israel, I think, is the top country in the world that, or perhaps even the only country in the world that finishes with more trees at the end of the world than less trees, where other countries are cutting so many trees down?
That was in the 20th century, Israel was the only country in the world that completed the year with more trees than it began it. Began the 20th century.
Well, that's a very optimistic fact to be able to bring to our listeners. We one of the customs that we do on Tu B'Shvat is we have a Seder. I know that in America, when I was younger and we used to grow up, we used to go out and plant a tree, but we didn't have the Seder, the meal where you had the fruits. Can you quickly talk about that? You have like 1 minute.
Okay. The Seder is really simple. Essentially, we have seven basic growing things that are called things that the land of Israel is particularly blessed with. Pardon me. And these seven things are made up of two of them, which are grains, and seven, which are fruits of trees. And the fruits of trees, then we'll talk about
olives, dates,
and olives, and pomegranates, and etc., and figs. And these are all things that we go through with a specific order in mind of which ones you eat first and which ones you eat second, and we talk about them. We talk about, you know, what's special about an olive. And olive is very interesting because on the one hand, the fruit of the olive is bitter, but the olive oil is something which gives the most beautiful of light. And so you have a certain dichotomy within the fruit. Of, on the one hand, something which is bitter, on the other hand, something which is very much a blessing, giving light, and not only light, but light which is a very clear and constant and pleasant light to the eyes.
And dates?
And dates, of course, dates are one of the very few fruits in the world that you can actually live on a diet of dates almost exclusively and really need almost nothing else. Dates are an enormously healthy fruit.
Figs.
And just to give one indication of what it means for Israel, the land of Israel, to be blessed, the average crop of dates on an average date tree in the world is 40 kilograms a year. And in Israel, it's 400.
Wow, that's amazing. Figs, pomegranates, what can you say about it?
Well, pomegranate, of course, is one of the most beautiful-looking fruits with a crown on its head. And we know that in terms of nutrition, there's a difference between the pomegranate juice and the seeds and the inner peel and the outer peel. Each one has its own characteristics in terms of nutrition. And the our time is very limited to talk about pomegranate juice. Is anyone who has stomach problems, for instance, it is one of the most soothing things that one can drink in terms of
health,
the stomach problems. And as a last note that I should mention, one thing that's been discovered
10 seconds, literally, go.
Very lately is a diet of rich in dates and pomegranate juice is very preventative for any kinds of cancer.
Okay, but ask your doctor first. We have to put that in. Dr. Mordechai Ben Menachem, have a happy Tu B'Shvat holiday. God bless you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
When we get back, Shifra Hoffman joins us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
We're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio, and our next guest is Shifra Hoffman for our Jewish Activism segment. Shifra is the founder of victimsofarabterror.org, and she is the director of shuva.net. Welcome to the show, Shifra Hoffman.
Thank you, Tamar. I always feel welcome here. I wish all the other media would do what you do, then we would have maybe Mashiach come soon.
Halavai. So you wanted to talk about what the Tanakh, the Bible, teaches Jews.
Well, you know, I'm very glad that I believe, and I'm sure there are many, many thousands of people who do believe, that God is there. He's watching us. He's not very happy with what's happening in Israel, I believe, because he gave us a blueprint. And blessed is his holy name. He's kept his promise. He said he would bring us out from among the nations and plant us on our land. Why? Because we're so good Jews? Not necessarily, but because of his holy name. He will not allow his holy name to be desecrated by the nations who mock us and say, where is your God, as they kill us and torture us and do terror. So anyway, because I do believe, and I was looking up that the Bible says that we, the Jews, the Jewish people, are supposed to be an Kadosh, a holy nation, a nation of priests, high priests. And I look at the way our the descendants of the high priests have descended. If you see what's going on in the Knesset, especially before this election, they call each other the worst kind of names. They rake up all kinds of mud. You wouldn't believe that they were descended from priests. They just keep descending and descending, and it's just something that is so hard to take, because we are spiritually greater than the nations, and we should go back to what the Bible says.
Shifra, a lot of the bickering that's going on with the elections and the moving of parties, people jumping from one party to another party, people saying why they should be voted in and why others shouldn't. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I call them recycled politicians. They keep recycling themselves, and then the new wannabes, as far as I'm concerned, none of them belong in a position of leadership. A real Jewish leader has to believe in the God of Israel and the Torah of Israel to admonish the people and to show us that we must keep the laws that God gave us, because we have no claim to Israel if it's not a biblical claim, and we have to look at the roots. The roots are that the Almighty, blessed be He, said to Abraham, the first Jew, to you and to your descendants, I will give this land. There's nowhere that says that they will give it to Arabs or enemies or to even leftist Jews who think like the enemies.
You know, there's a big social justice movement going on in the United States and other places around the world. We see in the UK, the Labour Party there with Jeremy Corbyn leading it, becoming extremely anti-Semitic and denying it at the same time. And the same thing with the United States now. And it's so sad to see and frightening, in my opinion, to see these groups that are walking for social justice. Some of them are even walking for communism, and their hatred that they have for anybody who is white, and that includes in their minds the Jews, even though many of the majority of Jews are not white, they're brown skin colored, Sephardi Jews. But in any case, what do you have to say about all this anti-Semitism going on in the United States?
Well, anti-Semitism never really dies. It reinvents itself. I have an article, and those people who like to see my articles, and they're coming out in the book and also the poetry, God willing, should be out soon. But anyway, you can Google a Ruth Sheva opinion article, Shifra Hoffman. I wrote years ago when the civil rights movement began, and by the way, who but the Jews went to help the poor little black people to vote and to get their rights? Nobody, you never hear a black speak about Schwerner and Goodman, who were murdered because they went down south to help the blacks, and which is a lesson that we should learn. We have to help our own. charity begins at home. At any rate,
I want to stop you there for a minute, Shifra, because a lot of people might think that you are ignoring the plights of other peoples and et cetera, et cetera. And I want to say here that when you have a strong Israel, a strong Jewish people, it helps everybody else. It's good for the world. It's not that we're only looking out for ourselves, but when the Jewish people can be strong and not have to worry about surviving, we can do wonderful things for our brothers and sisters around the world, our fellow human beings, with medical discoveries, with agriculture, with starvation, helping get rid of these things. So it's actually an empowering, in a very positive way, what Shifra is saying is to take care of the Jewish people. Go ahead.
Well, Tamar, you know, I love you and I respect you, but I believe, and I don't want to, you know, beat around the bush, you wouldn't think of giving some food or care to a strange child and let your own go hungry or be ill. You would give your children first, and you would have your family comes first. As far as I'm concerned, my family, the Jewish people, come first. For thousands of years, we always did good to other nations. There isn't a nation that Israel didn't make rich and enrich, only to find that we were at best tolerated and at worst annihilated. So I say, no, take care of all our problems. There are so many poor Jews here in Israel. Our organization, the Victims of Arab Terror, come to the door, so they should have money to buy for food for Shabbat or for, like, two for Shabbat, which is tomorrow. The God willing, we celebrate the birth of the trees. They don't even have money for the basic necessities. So I say no. Finish up our problems. Let the world do tshuva. Let them come to the Jewish people and say, we erred, we are sorry, and we want to help you. It doesn't depend on us.
You write here also that Jews in the diaspora are contemplating Aliyah, especially now with Jew hatred accelerating worldwide.
Yes. Well, you know, of course, you and I are on the same page. I can't understand where the myth arose that Jews are very smart. If you see that you are threatened, then Jews are threatened, even in America, where we were told, oh, it never happened here. Well, it is happening. There are attacks every day, especially in Brooklyn, especially for Hasidim who look like Jews. And it's time to pick up and pack up and come home. The late, great Rabbi Meir Kahan of blessed memory wrote a book, Time to Go Home, and he explained exactly what the situation is and why the Jews will turn out to be a scapegoat, which they are. But even if there was no anti-Semitism, shouldn't Jews want to respond and say, dear God, thank you for this generation, that I am able to pick up my family and come home to my land and do for my people and my land, which I am obligated and privileged to do. By the way, I want to make a statement that I didn't conclude tomorrow. And what is happening here in Israel is not only that they're not caring for what should be attended to, strict justice, but with enemies, like Arab enemies, when the IDF comes to arrest them because they did something very, very bad. They're not arrested for picking daisies. They're arrested for terror and for other things. The women slapped the IDF officer. How dare they? How dare they slap any soldier, especially an IDF officer, and there's no recounting? There's nothing that should be done? I call upon the leadership and the IDF, the commanders and the Ramatkal, the head man, you better punish these women, because the next step will be that we are going to be the ones that they beat up.
You also write here, why does Israel feel it must respond to the rantings and ravings of every anti-Semite?
Well, of course, that really sticks in my craw. Why do we have to answer them and excuse them? The Prime Minister of Malaysia says Jews have crooked noses and we don't want their paraplegics competing in the Olympics. Why are you going there? Why do you even want to look at that disgusting country? Why do we send Jews everywhere where they're not welcome? We can make our own events, and then, if we want to, we can invite those who are friendly to Israel, and the enemies should go to where they have to go. all the way, I want to say something about the Aliyah that I didn't finish before, and that is that we are now able to provide you with real estate people who, for no charge, you don't have to pay, will give you the names and the places of very good housing, probably affordable housing. If you don't know how to start your Aliyah, you can contact me, and these real estate people, no charge, will send you what they have in store for you so that you can really either rent an apartment or buy an apartment and make your move to come home. That's Judaism, and everything else is not.
Amen. And I want to tell people they can write me as well if you want any advice or you have any questions about Aliyah. I'm happy to speak with you as well. And Shifra's email address is hoffmanshifra@gmail.com. We always post where you can reach her on our where the shows are podcasted.
Right.
And
I just want to add to you also, happy holiday. The birth of the trees is tomorrow, Tu Bishvat. And if
tonight
you can, you know, buy a new fruit and make the prayer, Shehayanu, that we thank God that he provides for us. And also, if you're going out, go to a kosher place. There's a nice place in Ramat, actually it's in Jerusalem. And it's a nice place called Bagel Cafe, and they'll have a very nice little meal or a bigger meal. You can celebrate Tu B'Shvat with your family. And in any way, you should celebrate all the holidays here in Israel because that's where it counts.
Wonderful. Shifra Hoffman, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Happy Tu B'Shvat holiday, and it should only be good for you.
Amen, and you too.
Thank you. All right, and we are at the end of the show. If you have any comments or questions and you want to, you can post them either where the show is podcasted, or you can write me Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Agree, disagree, that's okay. We are able to listen to people and really have a discussion, which is sadly so rare today. All right, thank you everybody for being with us.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.